Hey, just a quick note. Andy Slammons asked me to mention about his upcoming private label retreat. This one's actually going to be held in Orlando in October, October 6th through the 9th. If you're interested in private label and you want to get one-on-one with him, Leron, and Nathan, this is the environment. This is where you're going to be up late at night working on growing your business. Q4 is here. You've already got that set. Let's get 2018 up to snuff. Get going with the new product that you bring to market. And you're going to learn about it at his retreat in Orlando, October 6th through the 9th. If you're interested in any way, they've already sold, I think, half of them. So there's a little bit of time left to get in. Just private message me and I'll give you a link that they have so you could see it and make a decision. And there's some testimonials and that kind of thing. So again, just private label me and I'll get the info to you. I was talking to Karen Locker the other day from Solutions for E-Commerce. We all know she's a sponsor of my show. She pays me. I don't want to hide that, right? The other thing she reminded me, though, is that if you sign up for her service through my link, you get $50 off, right? You knew that. I forgot that she offers an inventory health assessment. I'm like, Karen, I probably should be talking about that. That valuable service, she's going to take a look through your inventory and help you figure it out. They're going to take care of your suppressed listings. You're tired of having stranded inventory? Is inventory getting lost? When's the last time you looked at your shipments to get them reconciled? How about refunds? Has that happened? Well, Karen takes care of all that for me. She's been doing it for almost 2 years. I pay the same rate you do, but I'm very, very pleased with the service. And two guys, two well-known guys in the area, reach out to me saying, hey, you've been with her. Are you satisfied? I'm perfectly satisfied. And again, I can message her. I get the services I need. So it's Solutions for E-Commerce. The only way you're going to get that deal is using my code MOMENTUM. I have a link on my website. You have to go there. If you're thinking about outsourcing that piece of your business, get your inventory looked at.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 225, Ben Aldern from PrestoZone. You know, I love finding ways to do things easier, especially, at least in my own case, I start something and then I get distracted. I have trouble staying focused, be honest here. And so I tend to do things for a couple weeks and then I get back into my routine. And that's been a pattern in my life. And I'm trying to work on it all the time. So I'm always looking for things that can help me. And so one of the things I found was PrestoZone. And PrestoZone is a way to optimize your Amazon ads with bid automation. To me, bid automation is one of those things that I think is really important to figure out. And because I won't do it. I mean, I'll start it, but I don't maintain it. At least that's my experience. And so I met this guy at one of the conferences, really took a liking to him, took a look at his stuff. Seems pretty solid. And what I like is he's giving away a free month trial. Free month trial, no obligation. He's not paying me. I'm not getting affiliates or anything like that. So if you, like me, have trouble staying focused, this might be an option for you. And I think it's pretty cool. Let's get into the podcast. All right. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. I'm excited about today's guest because I'm very, very interested in buying time. I think that, you know, one of the challenges of an e-commerce business, because it's constantly evolving and changing, is the just keeping up with it. And so there's just so many hats I have to wear as a seller, and I'm sure most sellers can resonate with that. And so I'm always looking for any way I can do anything to buy some time. And I think this software that's offered by Ben Aldern. How did I do? Aldern. Ben Aldern.
There we go.
I'm not going to butcher that name. I'm going to get it right, darn it. Ben Aldern from PrestoZone. PrestoZone. I was thinking it was an A in there, but it's PrestoZone.com. Hey, welcome, Ben. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks so much, Stephen.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate it. Let me butcher your name a little bit. So Ben's out in San Francisco. We were just chatting about e-commerce world, the technology world, and the driving world, which is really, really I'm fascinated with. And San Francisco, statistically, was just told to me that 50% of the people don't drive themselves. They don't own a car. And Ben is one of those guys. So I'm really interested in that. So, okay, so you are a computer nerd. Are you the nerd or are you the marketer? Tell me the truth.
Oh, I'm definitely not the marketer.
All right, so you're a nerd. All right, I have a crazy story about San Francisco and nerds. 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, and just all the millionaires, met a whole ton of them, and they were just, it was in this crazy house. And I remember going through this program, and they were like, see all these guys? They're all millionaires. This is their third or fourth startup. And I'm like, really? I mean, it just blew my mind. And the environment they were working in, it wasn't fancy. It was some old house. But the guys just seemed so happy. And it does seem like that is the environment there. I mean, is it still that way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wasn't around here 20 years ago, but it is definitely like that. And, you know, it's one of my favorite parts about the Bay Area is, you know, everybody's working on their own thing and, you know, really passionate about what they're doing. And, yeah, just the, you know, the random guy on the street, the random woman on the street, you never know what they're up to.
You never know. So are you from that area?
I was originally from Southern California, but okay. I've been here for about a decade now.
Okay, so 10 years ago, you went there to do what? What were you thinking?
School. I went to UC Berkeley to study mechanical engineering. Now I'm in tech.
Interesting. Mechanical engineering. So learning how to design, to alter, to enhance. I mean, tell me what that
is.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny you bring up the car thing because cars are actually my passion. So I built race cars in college.
No.
And I love driving
okay,
race
so
cars.
So that's when nerd becomes cool, right? I mean, there it is, right then. I get it.
Yeah, so, and then I found my way into data, and that's how we got here.
So you built race cars, meaning that you, did you try to improve them to find little tweaks? Because at this point, right, they're infinitesimal changes that make a slightest improvement, but over time, you do enough of them, they have an improvement, right?
Yeah, so I was part of this competition called Formula SAE, where we would have to build a new car every year to do the competition. And
wait, build a new car from scratch, like physically with a wrench and that kind of thing, or just on CAD?
And a welder. And I mean,
designed
and built like the frame and the suspension and,
really?
You know, we didn't build the engine. We pulled that out of a motorcycle, but we built and designed and raced the whole thing from scratch.
And what was the goal? What was the end result that they wanted to achieve?
Well, we raced against other colleges. It's a global competition. So what you end up with is learning how to manage a really big project like that.
Okay.
Is something that's kind of hard to learn in class.
Yeah. Yeah. So hands-on, because you're relying on others. And my experience, when you rely on others, you can be disappointed, right?
Yeah.
And so managing that process. Did you also enhance things to the point where stuff eventually got put into place? I mean, were the patents designed because of some improvement somebody came up with? Did you get to witness any of that or take part in it?
Not through the racing team. I mean, Berkeley is always putting out a bunch of interesting research that is patented. But the racing team was more like, you know, can we get the budget together? Can we manage the budget and the time and the schedule and, you know, get this, like building a race car is not a small task. So like, how do we get a bunch of volunteer college students to build a race car and then go race it?
So back to my little, in the pre-interview, we were talking about Tesla, and I'm fascinated with electric cars. And this the statistic I saw was that by 2025, all new vehicles produced, including buses, and I believe they said trains, will be electric, right? Which is crazy to think. 2025 is not that long out. But one of the stats that they gave was that electric cars have 18 moving parts, whereas a standard car has 2,000. Now, I'm assuming the motor is the biggest piece of that count, right? I mean, that would make sense, moving parts. But the rest of it is still significant. So, you know, you're talking a pretty big undertaking. I mean, because it's a lot of moving pieces all working together and trying to get that team organized. Did you take any of the leadership positions there?
Yeah, that was what I had my eye on when I started. And that's what I ended up doing, was leading the whole team.
Did you guys win?
We didn't win.
Did you make the top five? I mean, come on.
Close. Yeah, we made a top score on the design.
Okay.
Which is like, you know, what do the judges who have been in the industry for, you know, their whole careers, what do they think about your design skills? And, you know, did you make the right choices? And that's kind of the thing that we were always after.
Yeah, making the right choices. So you went to school for mechanical engineering. You got into cars, and somehow you said that turned into the data?
Yeah. So I started working afterwards at our sponsor, a video racing video game company, and started doing
that's
data
not
analysis.
A real job, is it?
It is, actually.
Oh, come on, man. You guys.
Yeah, like half half the office would sit in sim racing chairs, and you know, we'd have races and stuff, and it was
fun. No kidding. And you're trying to find errors in the game or find places to improve or enhance.
Yeah, that's where most of the people were focused. I was, you know, this is an online game, and online games generate so much data. So you have to figure out, like, you know, are your users coming back? Are they spending a lot of time on it? Like, are they happy? Are they having a good time? So I started dealing with all of that and, you know, figuring out how we were going to get people coming back, paying us more money.
Well, how do you measure happiness? I mean, that'd be interesting to hear. How do you measure happiness? No, in a game like that. I mean, seriously, I'm thinking about some kid sitting in his basement, right? Or I think about my kid who does that, right? I mean, how do you know that he's happy? Is there a method?
Yeah, I mean, do they come back and do they spend time on it? Like,
okay,
if they're coming back and they're only spending a couple minutes and then they're getting frustrated and leaving, like, that's a really bad sign. But if they're coming back day after day and, you know, they're spending, you know, 30 minutes, an hour racing, like, that means we've got a customer who's happy with our product.
Okay. And the goal is to enhance the time, right? Give them longer time, because if they're spending time with you and they're paying for it, they're not spending with the competitor, and you right. can grow it from there.
Yeah.
Did what you learned in school help you in that process?
Yeah. So engineering school is really about learning how to figure out problems and, you know, taking the right approach to a problem. So a lot of them, I mean, I did a lot of data analysis as a mechanical engineer, but really the thought process of the mechanical problems applies pretty well to the thought process of software and data.
Okay, so that's going okay. What's next?
Next, I went to a financial company that was doing supply chain finance. So, like, if you know, we were helping get the small companies paid earlier, so that they didn't have these, you know, huge outstanding invoices that were causing them cash flow issues.
Okay, so these are manufacturing companies?
All kinds of companies. Yeah, generally like manufacturing, some services, but mainly they provided some good to some larger company.
And they send them an invoice, and then they sat and wait and wait and wait and wait, right? And get through this big machine eventually to get paid. So what were you looking at? Reducing the touch points, making it more accessible, making it easier to pay? I mean, what were the things that you were looking at?
We facilitated an early payment program between the buyer and the supplier. So the buyer could say, I'll pay you on day 2 instead of day 60 or day 90, but you have to give me like a 1% discount.
Right, a concession at some point. Okay. All right. And so by doing that, and then did you guys make a little piece of the VIG, the difference? Is that what, I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you got a little piece of it. And so, and it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're talking, you know, millions of dollars, right? In transaction.
By the end, it was billions of dollars a month of invoice processing.
So a small percentage of a percentage is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So what was your role there?
I was the first data guy at that company.
Oh, really?
So same as the video game company, first data
guy. What gives you the ability to look at data? Because you're talking about three different industries where you're mesmerized by data. You're the guy. Why? What is it about data that you can see that most others can't?
I don't know. I mean,
have you thought about that, right? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. There's a lot. I think part of it is that not a lot of people know how to work with the data. So, like, if you're just curious and you can open up these data sets and kind of like ask the right questions, most of it's asking the right questions. Like, what am I looking for? What kind of, you know, results would I need to see to think that, you know, this is going on rather than this other thing? And, you know, if you can handle all that data and ask the right questions, you can learn a ton. And it's super valuable because, you know, most businesses, without the data, they're flying blind, or they're going by their gut, or their past experience.
Yeah. In the old days, though, the past experience probably was good, you know, or it was relationship.
Yeah.
Now, in today's world, you know, let's jump to Amazon real quick. I mean, obviously you have because you built a software company. But, I mean, it just blows my mind. This week, I saw somebody had some trouble. Somebody built another scraper to find coupon codes that weren't put in correctly. So if you put discounts on your item, they were able to stack coupon codes to get free. Basically, they got your merchandise for free by exploiting a mistake that the person made, a physical person made a mistake, and yet the software allows them to make that mistake, allows them to stack it in a way that does, you know, that's bad design. However, this person thought of it and did it, and now because they've been found out, now it's like they're lynching the poor guy. But, or maybe deserves, I don't know. I don't want to get involved in that. But my point is that the data that is, it's just enormous out there. And so when you have the ability to parse it and narrow it down, and like you said, ask the right question, you have an advantage. A huge advantage in today's world. In the old days, it was the gut. Now it's really, if you can, I like the way you said that, if you can ask the right question of the data, you can then make some judgments. And therefore, if they're positive, you can make money at it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you're working on that business, financial business, time's okay, life good. Decide that's not good enough or what?
Yeah, I mean, I started at that company when it was about 50, 60 people. And then it grew over the course of a few years to over 200. And I prefer working on small teams. So actually all three of us, I have two business partners at PressesOn, Dana and Chris. And we were all working at that company. And we all wanted to work on a smaller team again. And we saw Amazon and said, hey, let's give this a shot. So we left and started this company.
Are there a lot of Ben's and Chris's and I forget the other guy's name you said, are there a lot of you in that tech world out there that are just, you know, I mean, it sounds to me like you get bored because if you're not, you know, like you say, once you get that big, you almost get compartmentalized, I guess is the right word, and you just can't get to see the big picture where when you pull back, I mean, you're involved, especially in the beginning, at all phases, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a certain amount of, you know, excitement of being in something super early. And as soon as that excitement starts slowing down.
Yeah, it starts to wane. You want to move on to tackle the next thing, right? You check bucket list. Okay, next. What's the next challenge? Are the challenges getting harder or easier?
The challenges, like,
well,
the
I mean, because if you're getting in and you're tackling these things, like you say, getting in early, you get to live it, the whole thing from beginning to end. And then once it hits a span, it becomes non-interesting. But when you get in, when you go into a new place, a new company, new channel, I guess I'm not coming up with the right word. Are they getting easier? I mean, data is data, right? Mm-hmm. Are the tools helping it make it easier?
I don't know. I think
maybe that's just a bad question. I mean, I'm trying to infer? I'm wondering if you just go in and it, boom, you get there so much faster.
I don't know if you've ever seen numbers on how much data humanity is saving, but it's getting bigger faster, and so we're saving a lot of data, and now we're starting to have tools to grapple with bigger and bigger data sets, and you know, we're able to save more and more data faster. And so I don't think the problems are going to get easier. I think they get more nuanced. And so like the early problems, it's like, you know, finding a product on Amazon to sell 7-8 years ago was a lot easier than it is now. It's still a data problem, but now they're a little bit trickier because you have to look in a little bit deeper.
Yeah, and you have to make some assumptions, right? I mean, you just can't get the answer. You can get most of it, but you then still have to make an assumption, right? There is something else out there. I just saw somebody else who has software who's turning off something because they said, you know, we're just not sure it's within Amazon's terms of service, so they're not going to offer that piece of data anymore because they're just not certain. Now, does that mean they, you know, because the terms of service change, right? And so that makes it even more complicated, right? It has to. Okay, so you guys decide, you hear that this gold rush of Amazon is out there, right? I mean, who was the one that said, hey, why don't we take a look at this?
Yeah, so I, you know, when I decided to leave the last company, I was looking for other opportunities. And, you know, I wanted something that could make some passive income that could, you know, at least free me up to find something that I really enjoyed or wanted to spend my time on, separate from needing an income from that thing. And Dana was super on board with that. And, you know, so we started brainstorming that together, and she and I came up with the first like idea for our company. And then Chris, he's just a brilliant software architect, and he was like, yeah, you know, this, I think there's some cool stuff we could do here. And
but I mean, why Amazon? Why not Walmart? Why not eBay? I mean, what was it? Was it, you know, are people in the tech world? Why? I mean, my brother-in-law is out there. He's in Sacramento and he works for Drexel. And the, I mean, he drops these guys' names like left and right. And I'm always like, oh, he's like, oh yeah, well, Steve is this. And I'm like, who? And then he tells you, and I'm like, oh my God, you actually met this guy? Well, yeah, blah, blah. So is it because you see Bezos making his billions and billions, and all of a sudden he just keeps rising and rising? Oh, they're in the news. I mean, why them versus, or is it because they have 80% of the e-commerce market? I mean, just why? I'm trying to get the mindset.
Yeah. I mean, if we're looking at who's growing in the e-commerce space, it's clear that Amazon's where you want to be.
So you're going for the money.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, We sell products that we started off as sellers, and we still sell physical products.
Okay, so that's where most of my listeners would have come from. They'd be sellers, right? And so you guys did sell. Which one started selling first, and why?
I mean, we all started together. Okay. So we all left at pretty much. Dana and I left the first. We left in late 2015, and then Chris left mid 2016, and we were all working together the whole time. We started selling, and then actually the first thing we did was we developed a data tool to help us figure out which products were profitable to sell.
Yeah, you're not going to go and just go scan in at Walmart at the end cap, right? You're going to use data. No. I mean, hence that's your nature, right?
We wanted something that where we could pump in like, you know, 10,000 or 100,000 keywords and figure out which markets were profitable.
And what would you get out of that? So if you did pump in 10,000 or 100,000, what would you get out of that?
Yeah, we got a ton of data back, you know, really in-depth analysis of what was available in the market, if, you know, how hard it would be to enter a competition, you know, what pricing strategies might be viable. And we really, it was basically like Jungle Scout on steroids. We wanted the raw data output rather than, you know, going through the UI.
Right. And because you didn't care how pretty it looked, you were looking for results. Were you looking for private label opportunities, wholesale opportunity, retail arbitrage, online, or all of the above?
Yeah, we were just looking at private label.
Okay, so it was just going to be private label. So you're saying, hey, if the silicone spatula or the barbecue glove, right? Everybody loves the barbecue glove. If you could get it at this price point, blah, 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 this is what it would take. And then were you going out to China or somebody going into Alibaba or some way to find matches?
Yeah, so our first product we did just get straight from Alibaba because we just wanted to learn how the process worked.
Okay.
So we weren't super concerned about making money on that one. We just wanted to get it up and selling and, you know, figure out where the pain points were.
Well, do you still have the product?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you to out it, but don't. So you found it on Alibaba or some simulation of it. Uh-huh. You brought it to market. So somebody, you know, contacted the manufacturer, went through that whole process. Did you process it three guys in a garage in San Francisco, or did you send it to a prep center or directly to Amazon?
Yeah, no, we did it ourselves. Dana was
cool.
Dana handled pretty much all of the, you know, negotiating with the supplier, and she did a great job at that. And we got them, and we ran into some problems with the first order just because we didn't. You know, we tried to rush it before Chinese New Year, and that just was a bad idea.
Did you get samples and all that jazz, or did you avoid that route because you wanted it faster?
Yeah, I mean, we went through a couple revisions of samples with this one supplier, and, you know, it's just newbie mistake. You know, they assured us that this one last problem was going to be fixed, and so we were like, okay, we'll go with that, and then it wasn't when we got the order. We're like, oh my gosh, what do we do with this? And that turned into a big hassle. But yeah, we processed them all ourselves and got them up on Amazon. We sold out. We made some money on it, but it was just kind of slow.
So you actually did make money. I mean, so that's a pretty successful experiment. Even though the bumps and the bruises, you actually made it through. Even if you lost money, it would have been a good tuition, right? But the fact that you actually made money. What did you learn in that first one that you now know are absolutes now?
I would say run smaller tests and be perfectly happy with your sample. That's our new rule number one, is be happy with your sample.
Ooh, that's a good one. So be happy with your sample no matter what, right? If it's, you know, if you're just even on the fence about something, not good enough.
Yeah, no, no way.
Smaller tests. Explain to me what that means.
Yeah, I mean, I would have probably, you know, going back, we all probably would have negotiated for a smaller MOQ.
Okay.
And if we couldn't get it, we probably would have tried to look for a different product that had a smaller MOQ or a smaller price. We went for a more expensive product than we should have.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean you can't come back. I mean, I think that's a good pro tip right there. So because it doesn't work right now, because they can't get the MOQ back down for them, I mean, let's face it, they have the cost structure too, right? If they can't make that work and you can't make it work with certainty on your side, it's better to push it off and move on, as you say, to a different product. Because once you get to scale and you work out all the kinks, you might come right back to that. Now it makes sense for your business, right?
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. All right, so be happy. Do smaller tests. Any other advice there that you've learned that are kind of absolutes?
I mean, I think smaller tests allow you to try more things. So that kind of goes hand in hand.
Were you doing smaller tests with variations too? I mean, did you get that sophisticated in the beginning?
No, because we were, you know, we bootstrapped this whole thing. So we're pretty cash flow limited at the beginning.
Yeah, and you're unemployed at this point, right? Two of you are anyway. Yeah. So you did that. You found some pain points. Where does the idea for PressDesign come in? I mean, was that the biggest pain point you ran into, is running ads?
I wouldn't say it was the biggest pain point, but it checked all the boxes for us. We had a couple, I can't remember how many products we had, started running sponsored products for our ads. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is terrible.
It's
Why
hard.
Do I have to do this? Isn't there, like, hasn't somebody automated this? Can I just go pay somebody to like do all this for me? And I looked around and I was like, oh my gosh, this sponsored product space is terrible. Like the software that was offered in the middle of last year was just not good. And I think that's probably mainly because Amazon only released their advertising API late 2015. And I think only started onboarding people mid 2016. So people were just starting to get a hold of this new data source to manage sponsored products in the middle of last year.
Right. And I think private label has exploded, right? And all of a sudden, all these people are making this nice looking barbecue glove. And now they all need to find a way to get these ads out there and get it done faster and faster and faster, right? And so the number of people, you know, I wish I knew that stat, if private label has just recently surged. I mean, logically it has, right? I mean, at least in my experience. How about yours?
Yeah. I mean, when we were analyzing markets, everything was just becoming more and more saturated.
Right. And so this is the way. So you didn't like what they gave you. You said, this is a little too hard for me. And you and your two partners at that time, was your third partner in full time at this point? Or was this the thing that you said, hey, we found it?
Yeah. Yeah. So this was probably in June, and Dana and I have been working full time for a while. And then Chris left in, I think, about June. And so we were all chatting, and really, I mean, we're all software people. Mm-hmm. Like we came from software. We didn't really enjoy selling physical products. So we were always looking for where we could offer a software product to help people sell physical products. We wanted to do the physical products so that we could.
Well, you can't walk the walk.
No.
You can't talk the talk if you didn't walk the walk. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. So now we've been selling for a little bit, and saw that sponsored products was a huge pain point, and it was growing. And then it's, you know, it's just exploded since, you know. Yeah. I mean, once they stopped incentivized reviews, everybody's like, oh my gosh, you know, sponsored products is the way. And, you know, I mean, we met at a Boost FBA in New York.
You and I did, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, Amazon is just really bullish on sponsored products. They're putting a lot of weight behind it.
Well, because they're saying, wait, here's a legitimate way to sell your stuff, right? You have to get it in front of the consumer, and you have to pitch them with your best sales pitch you can, right? I mean, that's really the big idea, as opposed to sending somebody something, hey, I'll give you this for free if you give me a review.
Yeah.
All right. And, yeah. And so, you know, where's the bias, right? I mean, that's what they're saying, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I can't believe you guys didn't like stuff in little plastic bags, putting them in boxes and sending them into Amazon. What's wrong with you guys? That wasn't the future for you, huh?
No.
It does get old. It does get old. All right, let's do this. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, yeah. I want to start building PrestaZon from day one. What you were doing as opposed to where it is now? Because now it blows me away. I mean, I've looked at a few things when I was doing my research, and I'm like, oh my goodness. That's easy. I have not seen that. So, all right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Q4 is coming and you need to get ready now. How would you like some help in getting the keywords you need to drive your private label and wholesale sales even higher? Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, getting those right keywords takes a lot of time, time that you just don't have. Well, I have the product for you. It's called Scope. Yep, Scope. Comes from the gang at Seller Labs, so you know you can trust it. Scope helps you optimize your listing based on the keywords that are actually helping your competitors sell their products. Yes, you get to see them. You want to get your listing in the best position to sell your products. After all, that's what we're here for, is to sell products. Jeff gave me a great offer for you. The first three keywords are free and $50 off an annual plan. That's the lowest price out there, and you get it because you're listening to my podcast. There's two simple ways to get it. Go to sellerlabs.com/momentum. There's a place to pop in a code. The code is momentum. So again, sellerlabs.com/momentum. Use the code word momentum. Or, even easier, text the phrase get scope. No space, just get scope to 44222 and follow the instructions. It's very, very simple. So text get scope to 44222. You're going to get three free keywords, $50 off. Great offer. Remember to tell Jeff I sent you. Smart guy, solid program. You know, again, think about what brings you value. There are some gifted people, you know, who just live and breathe this stuff. I always think of Leron Hirschhorn. I mean, the guy lives and breathes this stuff because he's so talented at it. It's not Steve. And so I don't have the capacity he does to do this. I think that's a skill set. That's why he's so good at it. It makes him so special. Not me. And so whenever I can find a way to get a hand up, and I think this might be one of them. Again, free month trial using the code Momentum. And I don't benefit in any way, but man, a free month is a free month. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back. And we're talking with Ben from PrestaZon. And he admits that he doesn't like putting stuff in little bags, putting it in boxes, and sending it in. I get that. I do get that. I mean, I can respect that. But you did your time. And I'll tell you, sellers, we appreciate that you understand the process because that's so important. Because if you lose touch with how hard that is, right, and how hard the rest of this stuff is, you'll lose your audience. And so I appreciate the fact that you've done it. Okay, so PrestaZon, the idea, the three of you are like, hey, we've got something, we can make it. Your first version was made for your products, I assume?
Yeah, so I just started downloading the reports from Seller Central and writing scripts to parse them and, like, you know, really squeeze the data out of them because there's only so much you can do in Excel. So I was writing stuff to automate it for ours, and I was like, oh gosh, okay, this isn't too hard. We can, you know, wait, we're a product designer and an architect and a data engineer. Like, we can get this together. You know, this seems like the perfect product for us to offer to Amazon sellers.
And so you create version one. What did it mm-hmm. do? The first version.
So the first,
not much, right?
No. Well, the first version, I was actually in Bali at the time.
Oh, come on. Don't be dropping that, dude. That's just mean. That's mean.
We did the digital nomad thing for a little bit.
Okay. How old are you?
27.
Oh God, I've got socks older. All right, go ahead. That's why you weren't in San Francisco 20 years ago working on, although you could be in today's day and age. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so we were in Bali, and there's actually a really strong group of sellers in Bali.
I know it. I mean, I see them, and they live a lifestyle. I mean, they live an absolute lifestyle.
Yeah, I loved it.
Would you go back?
Yeah, I would. I would go back to Ubud, which is like the, there's a really great co-working space there called Hubud, and I love working there. The rest of Bali was super difficult because, you know, electricity is spotty. Never mind the Wi-Fi. It's just hard to do work, but Ubud was really good.
Cool. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so we met a group of sellers there, and you know, we found some people who were interested in in a script that could help them with their sponsored product. So I built one, and you know, we started running some scripts for some people around there, and you know, and we put out some feelers on Reddit. There's a Fulfillment by Amazon subreddit that's really active, and got some people there who were interested, and we just started building up this like little base of people who wanted help and that, you know, wanted to get a hold of automation sooner than everybody else.
And so they were your test group, right? And so they were like, well, I did this and this happened. Okay, let me fix that. And then I did this and this happened, right? Or I thought I was expecting this and I didn't get it. And so then you can address that and say, oh, that's what people are looking for, right? And that really helps. I mean, these are the perfect examples of people who would use the service because Lord knows they're around the other end of the world. So they truly want automation, 100%.
Yeah.
And this was a pain point for all of them too. That's one of the things you heard?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that we heard all the time was that it wasn't like I want help analyzing my sponsored products. It was I don't want to touch my sponsored products.
Okay. So they want, and hence the reason you have an automation option. And so we'll talk about that in a second. Okay. All right. So I'm going to let Ben pitch his software. Steve does not benefit in any way. However, he gave me a code that you all can have for a 1 month trial, right? So the code is Momentum and you're going to be able to get it for 1 month. And I said to him, no questions asked. They can drop it if they don't want it. Right. And it's just the basic, they have an automation option and we'll talk it through, but I'm going to let him pitch his product because I think as you guys hear, this might be the thing that saves some of you the time that you need right now. You have to buy time, and this might be the way to buy time. And it's not that expensive. I looked at your most expensive plan's $97 a month. That's the most expensive plan, and there's two options below it. So it's not that expensive. So I'm going to let him pitch it. So now, tell me what PrestaZone does today.
Yeah, so our primary offering is automation of bid adjustments, and we strive to offer a like super clear and focused analytics package plus tracking package plus automation because we feel like a lot of the other software is, you know, you can do a lot in it, but it takes time to learn and like it's not enjoyable to be in there. And this is, we want people to save time like that. That's why we built the software.
Well, I looked at the one and there was a dashboard. I mean, it was basically a dashboard. I looked at it and I'm like, oh, look at how easy that is. You just click here and you could drill down, kind of all the things that a lot of people I think are getting used to, right? Where they can just click, go down in. Or what I also liked was it said, hey, these are challenges. These are opportunities. I don't know what the word that you guys use, but these might be the place that you can benefit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we keep track of everything. So you know, we keep track of changes, any changes that's made to your sponsored products, whether it's made in PrestaZone or in Seller Central or in another software product. And so we can track all of that and make better decisions because of it. I'm pretty sure we're the only software company that tracks every bid change. So,
and you show a chart. I mean, it almost looked like a Keepa chart. I mean, it just basically it showed that bid price over time. And I'm like, huh. That's interesting. That would definitely show you a pattern, right? I mean, is that the concept? You're looking for patterns?
Yeah. And, you know, we think of bidding as like A-B testing. Mm-hmm. So it'd be ridiculous to run a price A-B test for like your physical products at like $20 and $30 and then, you know, aggregate all of that information together and look at it like, oh, I just ran a month of testing for $25.
Yeah, and oh, and surprise, surprise, the one at 20 sold more than the one at 30. Wow. Ooh, right. I can make a decision. No, you can't.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. So we keep track of every bid price, and then we aggregate the data since the last bid change. And so you can say, okay, well, I know that for this bid, this is how it performed. And you can't get that in the search term report, and it's man, it's a pain to do it in the campaign performance report because you have to keep track of all those bid changes yourself.
Right. And somebody manually has to say, run a report, take the data, or run all the reports, right? Take the data, key it in somewhere, run it, do averages, adjust the formula for the averages, all that kind of jazz. And so you're doing it in a graphical form. How long is it? How long are you tracking?
We keep all the data. So we...
I mean, like since it started?
Yes. I mean, since you signed up, Amazon only keeps 2 months.
Okay.
So when you sign up, we pull 2 months and then we keep that. So if you want to sign up now and then come back a year later, we'll have the, you know, year and 2 months.
You'll be the only one with that information, at least at this point, at least that you know of. I'm, you know, and I don't know, there might be other softwares that offer too. I don't know them. I don't put anybody down. Just we're looking at this software. And so when you see that, and I, you know, it's prestizon.com, and then I watched a video, and that's how I got to see, you know, all the different things. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And when I saw that graphical chart, I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, there is the pattern that you can, and so you can actually see what your sales were at each one of those levels, and then kind of know that, you know, when I was doing it at this price. The other thing I liked, this is where the automation kicks in, is where I want it to be at 88 cents, right? Whatever, for whatever reason. I like 88 cents. And it's now running higher than that. When it drops to that layer, if I have that automated feature on, I automatically get, is it notified or does it automatically make the buy then? The bid.
Yeah, so we offer suggestions for where we think you should increase your bid or decrease your bid. And then the automation applies those as soon as we have enough data for it.
And if I turn that on, I don't have to manage it, right? So that it's like a repricer in essence in that same concept, right? If I have my rules in there, it's going to do what I tell it. So good and bad. And I'm sure there's some horror stories of bad where people set it up incorrectly. Do you guys, as part of the training, because that's one of the things I worry about with this stuff. It's like a repricer. Some of it is very complicated. Mm-hmm. Do you have good tools and training that you help people get this stuff right?
Yeah. So, I mean, we offer our algorithm for rebidding, basically, like adjusting these bids. And we're like one of the cool things about like one of the things that makes me really happy about where we are right now is we've spent so long building the infrastructure for this software that, you know, we can offer some really cool things really quickly. So we're planning on offering, you know, changeable rule sets so that you can decide how you want to rebid. And, you know,
based on something else that happened?
What was that?
Based on something else that happened?
Yeah. So like any data that you want to bring in, you know, where would you want your bid to go?
Can you adjust for seasonality? So or holidays, right? So I know Christmas is coming and that or Q4 changes things versus, you know, right. Q3 or Q1. Are there things like that? Is that what you're talking about that I can introduce my own kind of things to?
Yeah. I mean, we're, you know, right now you'd have to work with us directly because we don't offer that through the UI, but we have the capability of doing that. And right now, because the volume is really high in those times, like, the algorithm will follow the market and make sure that you're on top of stuff.
How quickly does it adjust?
You know, that it adjusts as soon as we have enough data. Because, you know, one of the bad things about doing your PPC like once a week or once every 2 weeks is that you adjust all of your keywords at the same time. Mm-hmm. So some keywords need to be adjusted every couple days because they're really high volume. And then some just don't have the volume. You don't know whether to adjust it up or down. So we wait on those until we have enough data to make a decision.
So can you give me an example of an item or a seller, what you've been able to do with them? And I know it's going to be your best, of course, but still, I just want people to get the perspective of what was able to happen.
Yeah, I mean, one of our early success stories where we like, okay, we've got something here is we took this guy's, you know, pretty stable business and took his ACoS from 40% to 20%.
So his average cost of sales was 40%. You were able to take it down to 20%?
Yeah, over the span of a couple months, which is, you know, that can be the difference between not profitable and profitable for some
absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. I mean, 20% is huge.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, this sounds like a commercial for PrestiZone. This is not a commercial for PrestiZone from Steve because Steve doesn't benefit. You're not paying me a dime. However, you're giving away 1 month trial free if you use the code Momentum. I don't collect anything. I don't collect emails. I don't collect anything. But again, I just sit back and I think to myself, if it works as it's designed, and so far what I've seen, it looks like it does. And if you can produce results like that, to me, that's buying time. And right now is, I think this is one of those things that I think people think it's a set it and forget it in Amazon's system. It's not, correct?
No.
It's not. But that's what people think. It's a set it and forget it.
No, yeah, and that's, I mean, especially, I think what people forget is that bidding is a market. So, like, you're trying to buy this inventory from Amazon.
And somebody else is, too.
And somebody else is, too. And, like, if they have a better offering and a bid and, you know, they manage their campaigns better, you're going to lose in that market. And so, the last 6 months, things have just gotten so competitive. And so, it's so critical to keep on top of this stuff. So if you just set it and forget it,
you're in trouble.
Amazon's gonna forget about you and you won't get those sales.
Yeah, and you wonder why your campaign's not working. Well, because you're not monitoring it every minute of every day. And I know people who do, and they're masters at it. That's their thing. Just like you didn't putting stuff in bags and putting them in boxes and sending it in. There are people, maybe Steve, who doesn't like sitting here babysitting this stuff and watching it and living and breathing it, because that's got to be your thing. Well, I've got grandkids. Those are my things, right? You know, and so this is the kind of stuff that I agree that if I can find a way to automate it so the parameters meet the parameters for me, which are different than what is for you, correct? I mean, that's another thing we got to consider is what I'm paying for merchandise is different than what you are, or what my profit levels are different than what yours are. And so that could factor in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We manage things by an ACOS target. So, you know, if you set it for, you know, 20%, maybe I have to set it for 30%, whatever.
Because you paid a different price or you bought a different quantity or whatever. Yeah. And I think that's the thing to keep in mind. Again, I can set it for what I want. And if I can't stomach, because that's one of the things I worry about with the system, the way it's designed, is you have to keep calculating that, or otherwise it can get away from you. And you're like, well, I only wanted it to be this, but it turns out to be 80%. And you're like, oh, Jesus, I lost money there for sure.
Yeah.
And so in your scenario, it stops because I have I have a number. Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah. Like if we see a keyword that's not performing, we catch it right away and then we'll reduce the bid drastically so that you stop losing money there.
Okay. So any more on your pitch? I'm going to let you finish it. Any more you want to pitch on it? Go ahead.
I mean, we're just really excited to have this offering because, you know, we've been working on it for a long time, and it was right now is when it's really starting to, you know, we're starting to see success stories from customers, and we're just super excited. The next, you know, we're innovating really quickly, and we have, like I said, we have this great infrastructure. So the next couple months, we're releasing features like every week or two. So it just keeps getting better.
How long does it take to get set up? So if I wanted to get it put into my business to get ready for Q4, that's coming fast. How long does it take?
Like a minute.
Oh, right. Man, a whole minute. Come on, man. Yeah. You got to automate that. Yeah, so damn it.
We use login with Amazon. So, you know, you just use your Seller Central credentials. We don't get the credentials. We just, you know, Amazon gives us a token that gives us access to your API. And so you still control everything on the Seller Central side. And then you just have, you know, we pull in your data, and that depends on how fast Amazon will give us your data. And, you know, that's 20 minutes or something. And then... and then you can just look at your data, turn on automation, leave, come back later.
Okay, and so his cost is this. It's the basic is $27 a month up to $1,000 ad spend, and you get 2 months free if you sign up for the annual method. Standard's $47, and advanced is when you spend $100,000, which is a good problem to have. If you're spending $100,000 in ad spends, you got good problems. I like them.
Exactly.
$97. And then the automation piece is the add-on. It's 1% of ad sales. So if I spend $500 on if I earn $500 worth of product come through that were clicked through the magic of PressDesign, I got to pay 1%, which is $5 in that $500 thing. $10 on 1,000. That's easy math.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's additional to the basic charge. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So, again, he gives you a free month trial when you go. And if you click on the site, I'll have the link in my web or on my website, but it's PressDesign.com, you know, big surprise. There's somewhere in there you can put in a code, I guess, when you try to sign up for it.
Yeah, when you go to checkout, you just
put in a code.
You have a promo code, and then you just enter Momentum.
Okay, so enter Momentum, and you'll get 1 month trial. And so I appreciate that. And I, again, do not make a dime. So one of the things that I asked Ben, because, you know, I know he was a seller, it didn't sell very long, but gets to see data, more data than most anybody probably, right? I mean, it's a voluminous. And so I asked him for some of the best practices that he could offer you, the listeners, that you've seen, especially, I think you're right, in the last 6 months, it's getting crazy, right? It's gotten super competitive. It's evolved very quickly, right? The whole business has changed. Amazon's terms of service have changed. They continue to change. So looking for some best practices that people could go out and work in their businesses today.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to focusing on what you're good at and offloading what you're not. So there, you know, over the last year, there's been an explosion of software products to help Amazon sellers, and the offerings keep getting better. So I think, you know, if you don't like something or you're spending a lot of time doing it, like you say, buy your time, you know, spend a little bit of money and get that time back so that you can really excel at what you're good at.
Yeah, if you love sourcing product, like I love going to trade shows, and most people are like, oh, that's terrible, right? I like to talk and I like to see people and look at them face to face. That's a time suck. You got to travel there. You know, you're on the show and then you extend a few days after is ideal, right? That time suck comes at a cost. Nothing else gets done. So I have to buy time for these other things, like putting things in little bags and putting them in boxes, right? Or repricing. You know, I use a repricer. Or in this case, running my PPC campaigns. And as you said, you're enhancing it. So it's going to continue to get smarter and smarter as you add little nuances that other more powerful sellers than Steve are asking for. You're rolling them out to the users.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. So stay focused on what you're good at and really become good at that. What else can sellers do, or what else have you seen really top sellers doing?
You know, this one might sound cliche, but take care of yourself. I think in this business, you know, people drive themselves really, really hard to get the edge and like grow their business as quickly as possible. And if you like stop sleeping well or stop exercising or, you know, start eating like crap, then that cuts into your creativity and, you know, it cuts into your ability to think clearly and kills your momentum. I mean, you can't grow your business long term. And, you know, some people are here to make a quick buck and then leave. But, for the people like those of us who are here for a while, you know, you need to take care of yourself.
You're looking long haul. Yeah, I was thinking about that. When you were in tech world, so you lived in that world where like the Googles have the, you know, the cafeterias, the food available 24/7, you know, you can hang out. They don't want you to leave, right? Did you excel in that environment with that kind of stuff? Or over time, do you become, you know, kind of, I don't know. I don't want to use the word sloth. Do you become too comfortable in that environment because you're not taking care of yourself?
I found all of that superfluous to like the actual problems that the business was facing. So the things that really drive me are solving problems and feeling like the strategy is in the right place. So I really love being on a project that has a really great strategy. Like, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to offer. This is our roadmap. This is how we're going to be successful.
It ticks your boxes. So it's that you thrive on that. Boom, I hit a milestone. And what you thought would happen actually happens. It's like, wow, this is good, right?
Yeah. And I, you know, that's kind of what really drove me to Amazon. I was like, okay, I see the data. The data looks good. You know, can we make this a reality?
And so you did. What's next? So what do you think you're going to do next? I mean, I love your advice. I think it's sound. I think taking care of yourself is so important in many, many ways. I'm in the headspace right now. I'm trying to get my head right. Right. Yeah. So what's next for Ben and the group?
Well, we all want to support, you know, a flourishing of humanity. So, Dana and I are both parts of giving, or we're both members of Giving What We Can, which, pledges 10% to effective charities. Oh, so actually a good, it's a great, it's a great driver of money towards really effective charities.
Okay.
And we're, I mean, she and I will both be attending Effective Altruism Global in a couple weeks. And, you know, we're all, Chris is really interested in politics. He's got some background with the UN, and, you know, we want to make the world a better place. And so we're trying to, that's our goal of Presses On, is, you know, the money that we make there will go towards good causes.
Okay. So you're giving back. Okay. Yeah. Well, awesome. I appreciate, again, you coming on. And I understand some people say, Steve, it was nothing but a commercial. Yes, you're right. But if this is something that you're interested in, again, is buying time for something that might not, you know, again, my experience with life is we start something new, it lasts about 2 weeks, and then you generally go right back into your bad habits, right? And so if this automates something that you need and it keeps you on track, to me, that's what's so important. It keeps you on track. Then for $27 or up to $97, it seems like a good way to buy. Because if you had to hire somebody to do that, they'd make a lot more. Let me ask you, Ben, you made a lot more money than the $97 a month when you were working in those companies, didn't you? To have a data support staff like that on 24/7, it's going to cost you a little more than $97. So again, it's PressDesign.com. The code you're going to use is Momentum. You get 1 month free trial, no strings attached. And again, I don't benefit in any way. Man, I appreciate you taking the time. I'll probably have you come back as you guys expand and add other things on. Because you know, here's something else I think about. How do you not, you see other problems, right? I mean, you have to. I mean, based on what you see data. So you're seeing other problems. How do you not let your mission creep into those other things? That's got to be discipline, right? I mean, that's got to be hard.
Yeah, I mean, you learn that pretty quick in the tech world. Like, that's what... Losing focus is what is really the death nail for a lot of startups around here. They just like go after every shiny thing. So we focused on PPC, and yeah, we have like probably 10 other products that we want to offer. But right now we're doing PPC really well, and we want to be the absolute market leader there, and we want to fully automate the entire process. So that's where we're going.
Okay, makes sense. Dude, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I wish you nothing but success. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Another great interview. Solid individual. That's what I like. Remember that little note about Andy Slammon's upcoming conference? I saw a note the other day. Sandy's only got 5 left. By this point, who knows? Jump on. If you're interested, matter of fact, just message me and I can get you the information. It's going to be in Orlando, and it's all about private label and really launching very, very quickly, lightning fast. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.